first epistle to Timothy, chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Enjoin those rich in the present age not to be high-minded, not to trust on the uncertainty of riches, but in the God who affords us all things richly for our enjoyment. Do good, to be rich in good works, to be liberal in distributing, disposed to communicate of their substance, laying by for themselves a good foundation for the future, that they may lay hold of what is really life. Epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, wherein God, willing to show more abundantly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, intervened by an oath that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible that God should lie, we might have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us, which we have as anchor of the soul, both secure and firm, entering into that within the veil where Jesus is entered. Book of the Acts and chapter 7. To get the sense, we'll read the whole section, starting at verse 54. And hearing these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed their teeth against him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, having fixed his eyes on heaven, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, lo, I behold the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice, and held their ears, and rushed upon him with one accord. And having cast him out of the city, they stoned him. The witnesses laid aside their clothes, feet of a young man called Saul. They stoned Stephen, praying, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Kneeling down, he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And having said this, he fell asleep. When I got home last night, I picked up the magazine that came with the paper and noticed that it had a review of the year, the number of photographs, and didn't read it in any detail, but I was caused to think that at this time of year, it is a common thing to reflect on the past year. This is likely to be the very last gospel preaching from this desk in 2018. It may well be the last gospel preaching from this desk ever. Maybe a little more about that later. But there have been 51 preachings in this room from this desk before in this year. And I wonder whether or how much further on any of us are from the first one that took place. One thing I can say, which is why I read the scripture in Peter, is that God's heart is not changed towards us. And for that we can be very, very, very thankful. There's coming a day when this scene, what we speak of as the day of grace, will be closed. But tonight, God is still appealing to the hearts of men. And he is still propitious towards your heart. And he hasn't closed the scene because he is not willing that any should perish. Because, dear friend, if he closes the scene before you have come to repentance, you will perish. You might say, I thought the gospel was about glad tidings, and so it is. But if friends, there does need to be a warning that goes with it. Because, dear friends, if you refuse God's offer of grace, there is a penalty that awaits you if this day of grace closes. And dear friends, it is not a penalty that any of us want to partake in. Speaks of being cast into the lake of fire. And that is a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't prepared for man. Scripture tells us that some men will find their place there. So it is as well to start the gospel preaching with a warning. Because, dear friend, you refuse God's overtures of grace at your peril. We sung about a wondrous story. That's what I want to speak about. I want to speak about the wondrous story of God's grace. The story that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world. Now, you may say, I can't understand it. Well, I can't understand it either. But it's true. It's true because it says so in the Holy Scriptures. And God's purpose was, dear friend, that though man was going to sin, and God knew that man was going to sin, and yes, God could well have stopped man sinning. I can't exactly say why he didn't stop man sinning, other than to say that God desired to show the immensity of his love. And he did that through the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this earth. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came to the earth, people have been occupied with it this past week, haven't they? Some probably out of genuine exercise, some merely out of profession or tradition. But anyway, man has been occupied with the incoming of the Lord Jesus. But you know, the Lord Jesus didn't come to live on the earth. The Lord Jesus came to die. That's where every single footstep was taking him. Was taking him one step closer to Calvary's cross. In love, a wondrous story, to lowest steps did go. Yes, on the way to that cross, he showed out the love of God. His very being expressed the love of God to men. And oft times, you know, it caused men to well up in hatred towards him. Because, you know, his presence exposed the wickedness of their own hearts. But he wasn't deterred. He went that way to Calvary's cross. He went that way, and while he was going that way, you know, he met various people, and he showed out the love of God in the way of his healing. But you know, he could only do that because he was going to the cross. He was going to go to Calvary's cross to lay down his life, because by laying down his life, by going to the cross, to Calvary's cross, to the place called Golgotha, he was going to take on the question of sin. And it is sin, you know, that separates man from God. Sin, as I said earlier, came in with the very first man. And, you know, from the moment that sin came in, it says, by man, sin came into the world. By sin, death. By death, the judgment. But God, in his love, sent the Lord Jesus that there might be a righteous basis where you might escape that judgment. And dear friends, that can only be because the Lord Jesus Christ himself took that judgment upon himself. And don't think that because of who he was, it was any light matter for him. If you want to understand truly the depths of what it was that the Lord Jesus was taking on, I suggest you read the verses where it speaks of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he contemplated what was before him. And he could say, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That was the cup of the wrath of God, dear friend. That was the cup which needed to be drained if the wrath of God was to be satisfied. And that was the cup which the Lord Jesus knew the measure of. And despite that, he drained that cup. He gave up his life. Yes, maybe he was put upon the cross by wicked hands. But if friends, could he have come down the cross? Well, in his personal glory, surely he could have come down from the cross. Besides that, he could have called on 12 legions of angels, it tells us. But no, dear friends, he remained on that cross, the sin bearer. the sin bearer for you and for me, so that God in his grace can offer free and full salvation to all who will come to him by way of repentance. Where we said that all should come to repentance. God's heart is still waiting. Clearly the fact that the present day hasn't been closed. There's still someone who hasn't repented, you know. I can't tell you if there'll ever be another opportunity, dear friend. I urge you, if you haven't repented tonight, repent and put your faith and trust in the finished work at Calvary's cross, you know. There's nothing you can do to add to that work. You're not asked to repent and then live a good life for the rest of your days here on earth, because apart from anything else, you would miserably fail. No, repentance towards God and faith, as it say, faith in his blood. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he hung upon Calvary's cross. He had his side pierced in hatred. But what happened then? Well, out flowed blood and water. You know, that takes us back, you know, to that time when the destroying angel went over the land of Egypt. And, you know, the houses that were marked, that had the blood on the doorposts and the lintel, they were passed over. You know, there was safety through being covered by the blood. There was safety if you were in that house. The people inside the house didn't know that it was going to happen. They had faith that it was going to happen, because they took God at his word, you know. Said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. And in the same type, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a type, really, of the blood of Jesus being shed on Calvary's cross to show that God's righteous requirements had been fully met. And the Lord Jesus Christ had laid down his life. And he'd gone into death, you know. And he was buried. Yes, he went into death and he was buried. But you know, we also sang, but oh, the mighty Saviour, victorious over the grave, has risen in glorious power and lives the lost to save. Yes, dear friend, whilst I preach one who has died, I preach one who yet lives, you know. God has shown his delight in bringing the Lord Jesus, in the work that he has done by bringing him out of death. And he showed his delight in his very person, you know. Raised him up and seated him at his right hand. So, you know, we just want to briefly refer to Timothy, because what I was thinking of was that eternal life is promised to those who trust in Jesus. There was a man who came to Jesus thinking that he could inherit eternal life. And the Lord challenged him about one or two things. And what's it say about him? It says, he went away sorrowful. Well, I want to speak really about laying by for themselves a good foundation for the future, that they may lay hold of what is really life. Life is found alone in Jesus, you know, dear friend. This man, it says, he went away from Jesus. He didn't find his life in Jesus. My desire is that each should find their life in the finished work of Jesus. Speak briefly about Hebrews, you know, God's promise. And if we have fled for refuge, we can lay hold of a hope which is set before us, which we have as anchor for the soul. Oh, isn't it a good thing to have an anchor for a soul? Think of the turmoil. You know, we spoke earlier about the year that has passed. Think of the turmoil that there has been in the world over the past year. We don't know, as I say, how long it is going to go on. But you know, do we have an anchor for the soul? You can have an anchor, dear friend, for the soul in the precious shed blood of Jesus. It is sure and it is secure because it has been done to God's satisfaction. You can't add anything to it, as I said earlier, but thank God you can't take anything away from it either. Dear friend, it doesn't depend upon exactly how you feel about it. It's been done to God's satisfaction. For us, for you and I, we need to lay hold of it. But you know, entering that into that within the veil where Jesus is. You know, Jesus is in the presence of God. The veil covered the holiest of holies, didn't it? Where the presence of God was. Well, at the cross of Jesus, that veil was rent asunder, and God could righteously go out in blessing towards man. What a wonderful story, isn't it? You know, but you know, the present position of the Lord Jesus is within the veil. He is in God's presence, you know, and he would desire earnestly to take us there as well, to know what it is to have true life. Not life as found in this world. Clearly, that man who came to Jesus asking for eternal life thought that eternal life meant that he could live forever on the face of the earth and enjoy his possessions. Oh, what a pathetic life it would have been, wouldn't it? Dear friend, what God offers us is something much greater, to go to where Jesus is, to have our life and our trust there. I refer to Stephen, you know, because I believe he was one who truly had life, you know. His physical life on earth was about to be ended. Was he sorrowful and disappointed about it? What happened, you know? Says, being full of the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's another thing, you see, that God doesn't stop giving. He gives you salvation. He gives you freedom. He gives you liberty. And he'll also give you the Holy Spirit, you know, so that you can be like Stephen and know what it is to see through that veil and to see where Jesus is, you know. I believe Stephen saw something of Jesus within the veil, you know. It says he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. What a wonderful sight, wasn't it? For a man who was about to be stoned to death. What a wonderful sight. It lifted him far above what was here. And he truly had an anchor for his soul in something not for time but for all eternity. Dear friend, that is what is offered in the gospel. It is offered tonight. It is offered for you to lay hold of. Will you not do so and know something of the joy and satisfaction of having something which is far removed from this scene? Have an anchor for the soul and see something of the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God himself. And he would desire indeed to take us there in spirit. In the coming day, he's going to take us there actually, you know. Speaks of him coming back on the clouds, you know, to call those who love him to be with himself. All those who have died and trusted in Jesus will be raised from among the dead. And it says, we the living who remain shall be caught up to be with them in the air. What a wonderful prospect, isn't it, dear friend? Is that what you have before you? Or do you have living forever on the face of this earth? Trying to make it better, dear friend. Oh, what a miserable existence that would be, wouldn't it? Many people have tried to make the world better and they've miserably failed. Dear friend, what we have, what is offered in the glad tidings is life with Christ beyond the grave. Well, maybe each know something of it tonight for his name's sake.